Chapter 11, Visit to Massachusetts. I was then shown that I must visit Massachusetts and there bear my testimony. When we reached Boston, I learned that T., who had opposed me in Maine, arrived a few hours before. We considered our being sent to Massachusetts just at that time was to save God's people from falling under his influence. It was arranged that I should go to Roxbury and there relate my message. I found a large company collected in a private house. I felt the opposition that existed in the hearts of my brothers and sisters, yet in the strength of the Lord delivered my unpopular message. As I was speaking, a sister who had been opposed to me arose and interrupted me. She grasped my hand, saying, "I said that the devil sent you, but I can doubt no longer." And she declared to those present that I was a child of God and that he had sent me. All the meetings were greatly blessed. The power of the Lord attended the testimony, and every heart was comforted and refreshed. T. Haskins, who usually led in their meetings, arose with his countenance beaming with joy and said, "The same power attends this that attended the truth in 1844. I do not expect to find so green a spot this side of our deliverance." We next visited Brother Nichols' family in Dorchester and had a meeting there of the deepest interest. Again, H. testified that the Lord had abundantly blessed him and that he could go 40 days on the strength he there received. But T. was exerting his influence to discourage and close up my way by spreading lying reports concerning me. H., who had been made so happy as he received my testimony, fell under the influence of T., and as his mind turned, he became unsettled, then unstable. It was evident that he was rejecting the counsel of God against himself. He seemed unhappy, and finally went into the spiritual view of the Second Advent, and received the grossest errors, neglected his family, took a spiritual wife, and his lawful wife died of a broken heart. I next visited Randolph, New Bedford, and Carver. The Lord gave me liberty in all these places to bear my testimony, which was generally received, and the desponding and weak were strengthened. I made it my home at the house of Brother O. Nichols. They were ever ready with words of encouragement to comfort me when in trial, and often their prayers ascended to heaven in my behalf, until the clouds were dispersed and the light of heaven again cheered me. Nor did their kindness end here. They were attentive to my wants, and generously supplied me with means to travel. They were reproached because they took a stand in favor of my visions, and on account of this they were obliged to be in almost constant conflict, for many were anxious to turn them against me. A faithful record is kept of their acts of love and benevolence. They will not lose their reward. He that seeth in secret is acquainted with every kind and generous act, and will reward them openly. Soon H., who had opposed me in Maine, came in great haste to Massachusetts with a document to destroy my influence. I have never had the privilege of reading it or hearing it read, and have not been able to obtain a copy of it to this day. The document was read in my absence when I could not answer for myself. As near as I can learn, H. got up the document, then urged a sister who was occasionally with me during the 2 weeks of my extreme sickness when my mind wandered, as stated before, to sign it. She was then on a sick bed, suffering great confusion of mind, and to get rid of H., consented to have him sign her name to the document. At a later period, this sister confessed to me in tears her regret that her name was ever attached to the document. She is not a Sabbath keeper, yet has since cheerfully given her name to a certificate on another page which kills the slanderous document. May the Lord lead this sister to embrace the third message, and may we again enjoy sweet union as when at her altar of prayer I had my first vision, as stated before. We learned from one who had heard the document read in Boston and Roxbury that H had gone to Carver to read it there. At first I felt distressed. I could not see why God should suffer me to be thus reproached. I had to suffer anguish of spirit for others, and now my character was attacked. For a short time I sunk in discouragement, but as I went before the Lord with this severe trial, he gave me grace to bear it. His strong arm supported me. I was not suffering as an evildoer, but for Christ's sake, and how many had suffered the same before me, even Jesus, the Savior of the world, was reproached falsely, accused, and these words seemed ever before me, "Are ye able to drink of the cup? Can ye be baptized with the baptism?" I felt as I was bowed before the Lord that I could say, "Let me know the fellowship of Christ's sufferings." I knew what was being reported as being in that document was false, and Jesus knew it. Then why should I be troubled? I fully believed that Jesus was soon to come, and then my name, which was handled so maliciously here, would be justified. I there consecrated myself, my name and all, to God, and with reconciliation could say, "Only let my poor name be written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and men may handle it just as God suffers them. Let me suffer with Christ, that I may reign with him." My sister had previously gone to Carver, expecting Brother Nichols to bring me in a few days. She was present at the reading of the document. She suffered on my account, H said, in the morning that he had been in a horror of darkness all night. No wonder. He feared my sister would expose him in his past fanatical course, but she would not condescend to mention those groveling acts of fanaticism in that portion of his career that she was acquainted with. I bear no ill will to those who used me thus. In a little from this, the slanderer and the liar will receive their reward. That which they have sown, they shall also reap. I could look up and rejoice from the depths of my heart that there was a living God, judge over all, who is acquainted with every heart, and to him I committed my case. In a few weeks I visited Carver, and found that a few had been influenced by H, but in many instances where the way had been previously closed up, it was now opened, and I had more friends than I had before. There was a young sister in the house where we tarried, who was subject to fits, and she was afflicted with this most distressing disease while we were there. All seemed to be alarmed. Some said, "Go for the doctor." Others, "Put on the tea kettle for hot water." I felt the spirit of prayer. We prayed to the Lord to deliver the afflicted. In the name and strength of Jesus, I put my arms around her and lifted her from the bed and rebuked the power of Satan and bid her go free. She was instantly brought out of the fit and praised the Lord with us. We had a solemn, refreshing season in this place. We told them that we had not come to defend character or to expose the wickedness of men who were laboring to destroy our influence, but to do our Master's will, and God would take care of the result of the efforts made by designing men. Our hearts were strengthened and the church encouraged. About this time, Sister C.S. Minor came from Philadelphia, and we met in Boston. Different errors were affecting the Advent people. The spiritual view of Christ's coming, that great deception of Satan, was ensnaring many, and we were often obliged through a sense of duty to bear a strong testimony against it. Sister M.'s influence went in favor of spiritualism, although she felt unwilling to acknowledge it. Those who would stand clear from this influence were obliged to be decided and have nothing to do with it, but in the fear of God bear their testimony against it. As we were about to journey to New Bedford, a special message came to me from Sister M. to come and relate what the Lord had shown me. Brother N. took my sister and myself to the house, where quite a number were collected. There were individuals present whom I had been shown were strong fanatics. They dealt in a human or satanic influence and called it the Spirit of God. I had not seen them before with my natural eyes, yet their countenances were familiar, for their errors and corrupting influence had been shown me, and I felt forbidden to relate my vision in such a company. There were some present that we loved, but they had been led away in this deception. The leading ones considered this a favorable opportunity to exert their influence over me and cause me to yield to their views. I knew their only object was to mangle the visions, spiritualize away their literal meaning, and throw a satanic influence over me and call it the power of God. Sister M addressed me, urging me to relate the visions. I respected her, but knew she was deceived in regard to that company. I refused to relate my vision to them, only that part which related to them. We told them we had no fellowship for their spirit, and in the name of God would resist it. They flattered, but it had no effect. Then they tried to terrify me, commanding me. They said it was my duty to tell them the visions. I faithfully warned those whom I believed to be honest, and begged them to renounce their errors and leave the company that was leading them astray. I left them free from their influence and spirit. A portion of that company in a few weeks were left to run into the basest fanaticism. Those were troublesome times. If we had not stood stiffly then, we should have made shipwreck of our faith. Some said we were stubborn, but we were obliged to set our faces as flint and turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Those who believed in the spiritual coming of Christ were so insinuating like the serpent in the garden. To suit their purpose, they would profess such a mild, meek spirit that we had to be on our guard, strengthened on every side with scripture testimony concerning the literal personal appearing of our Savior. I have often seen the lovely Jesus, that he is a person. I asked him if his Father was a person and had a form like himself. Said Jesus, I am in the express image of my Father's person. I have often seen that the spiritual view took away the glory of heaven, and that in many minds the throne of David and the lovely person of Jesus had been burned up in the fire of spiritualism.